Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I feel happy today. Not depressed, not sad, not anxious, not angry. You feel great too?
I feel great.
We were both singing the famous Youngblood song at the beginning here. Come on, people now, smile on your brother. Everybody get together, try to love one another right now. Both of us were. Why is that? And how could they only have had one hit song?
Well, you started out the first note, and it was that recognizable that I just picked up and followed along.
That song is just an exercise in brilliance. The lyrics, the crescendo, the musicianship. Everything about it, it's one of the greatest songs ever written and performed, and it's the only one they had. This is like the 85 Bears winning one Super Bowl. How is that possible with that kind of brilliance?
Is musicianship a word?
Yes, it is. We both agree that song's a miracle.
That's
right?
A wonderful song.
Then how could they only have had one hit?
That's why they're called one-hit wonders.
Yeah, and they are the ultimate one-hit wonder. How could the 85 Bears, with Mike Singletary and Wilbur Marshall and Richard Dent and the Fridge and everybody else, win one Super Bowl, Limits? Isn't that one of the great mysteries of our time?
Yeah, I mean, they had a chance in 86.
They always had a chance, but they only won one. I don't get it. Man, am I pumped on pumpkin spice coffee today, and I didn't even mean to do a play on words there.
You know who else is a one-hit wonder?
I do feel happy. Who?
Dexy's Midnight Runners. Come on, Eileen. You ever hear that one?
Yeah, oh, Come on, Eileen, of course.
Well, yeah, yeah. Yes. Dexy's Midnight Runners, remember them?
Every wedding I didn't even know who did that song. That tells you all you need to know. How about this? Don McLean, not the UCLA forward, but the singer, American Pie.
All 9 minutes and change.
I've told this story before. I saw him at Heartwood Acres, and he seemed resentful.
You saw Don McLean at Heartwood Acres?
And he seemed resentful that all of us were only there to hear American Pie. It's like, Don, what else are we here for? Hurry up, get to that, or sing that 30 times
he
in a row.
He probably played it once, and the show was over, the song so long.
Starry, Starry Night might be a little bit underrated. I'll grant him that, Limits. But he's at best a two-hit wonder. Who are some other great one-hit wonders in sports? Who are some one-hit wonders in Pittsburgh sports history?
One of the first to come to mind for me.
Patrick Laleem comes to mind for me.
I think of Jeremy Lin. Lin Sanity. 17 or 20 games
or whatever. Is that a great call? Yes. Patrick Laleem, my first year on the Penguins beat, 1997. Already Molinari and Yager not talking to me. Laleem is a holdout, so it's a big story. I'm in Montreal at the La Mer, this unbelievable ancient hotel that you could feel the hockey history in it. I'm going to cover the Penguins. I honestly can't remember if the game was at the Forum before the Forum got torn down or if it was at the new place, which I forget the name of it, the Bell Center maybe. But there I was in Montreal. And I remember flying in on a Sunday night, a snowy Sunday night, and it was like, is this real? Am I getting paid to do this? And I met Patrick Laleem and his agent in the lobby of the hotel and got an exclusive story with him because that was a big deal, that he was a holdout and he had had that incredible streak for the Penguins, I don't know, a year or two earlier. I don't know why I'm remembering that, but I feel good today. I feel good about our field trip yesterday. We went to Pitt to try and return serves from Olivia Babcock, who is just bursting with positive energy and an unbelievable athlete.
She was awesome. She was awesome just to hang around, like really cool attitude about everything. And she was telling us that we did a really good job.
She loved my Jim Carrey line. We did a little video to start out with her. Ben Tenuta was with us.
This video is going to be
it's going to be great.
Be fun.
And I said, I introduced you. This is City Limits. And he looks like Jim Carrey from Ace Ventura. And she cracked up big time on that one. She liked that. And then she blasted serves at us. Not even close to 100% of what she does in real games. But it was coming in like a Paul Skeens 98-mile-an-hour breaking ball. Like, I expected the speed on the serve. I didn't expect it to be breaking hard to the outside corner. It was unbelievable. How do people return this?
Yeah, I tell you what, Joe. I've played just when I played in high school against guys who went on to play at St. Francis, some that went on to play at other D1 schools.
Humble brag.
Penn State, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I've never tried to return a serve that was that good that Olivia Babcock had.
Did you see the one return I did have?
You had one that you popped it up in the air about, I'd say 10 feet in the air.
That's what you want to do.
Line.
That way Rachel Fairbanks, or whoever happens to be setting for me.
I don't know if Rachel Fairbanks is getting to that one.
What? It went straight in the air. It's right to her. That's what you want on those plays. What did you
have?
It was
playable. I had the one perfect pass, Joe. Perfect pass, or I had it right to the target, and it seemed like everybody was just so surprised. It was the second pass I made, and then I never made another good one.
She was impressed with you. I'll say that. She thought you had some skills.
And I told her that I was disappointed in myself, and I thought I did horrible.
And then we interviewed the coach beforehand for a quick video leading in, and you forgot to say his name. No, neither one of us said his name.
Ben's going to put a graphic down, I think.
I know, but you did.
I know. I didn't say his name.
I know. You just said the Pitt coach.
I thought I did, and then I didn't.
Dan Fisher. He was great. I was just chatting with him. Isn't he an interesting guy?
He's awesome. And he was chatting it up, I think, with some of Ben Tenuta and some of those guys, too, for a little bit.
Yes.
He's done an awesome job transforming that program. I was wearing my 2018 Pitt volleyball shirt that I had from the camp. He didn't seem very interested that I was involved in that camp.
No, he sort of passed that off.
He did, but that's okay.
But I asked him about the X's and O's. Are you like football coaches? Like, how much game planning goes into a volleyball match? And he said that volleyball coaches are very obsessed with these types of things, like scouting especially. Like, okay, that player on the other team, if you do a low serve to the left side, very weak on that. We got to get some low serve, you know, that type of thing. It's unbelievable. And then I went to a high school volleyball match last night.
I as well did.
Seton, my daughter's team against South Park, and it was awesome. It's everything sports is about. We lost, but starting with the anthem, you have both teams lined up on their respective sides. The anthem's playing. Toward the end of the anthem, they're all holding hands, swinging their hand, you know, their arms together.
That's a tradition the Baldwin started. Can't be confirmed, but I think it was.
Another humble brag.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic right from the start. And then it was a very competitive, fun match. Both teams into it. I said hello to the other coach afterward. I didn't like him during the match, but that's because he's intense.
The other coach?
After the match, he was great.
Did he recognize you and say, oh my gosh, you're Joe Starkey from the radio?
No, I introduced myself, and he's a very nice man and a very good coach. We've been competing against South Park athletes for a while in softball and volleyball. Good team, good kids. Great match. I came home feeling good last night. It was a volleyball day. And then the Devontae Adams stuff I became more aware of. Everything happening there. So I feel good today. I'm ready to launch into this. It seems like you are too. Did you want to say something else?
It was the Dig Pink for Breast Cancer Awareness match last night, Joe.
Us too.
That's huge.
Us too. We had
huge
those uniforms.
They gave away a fire pit in the raffle, the gift card basket, a lot of other ones. So that was pretty cool.
I would say the match that I was at, and sounds like you, that's what sports is supposed to be.
Yes, especially local
fun,
high school sports, too.
Yes, intense, competitive, but fun with a degree of sportsmanship and everything else. Just good. It's good for the world, sports like that. Would you agree?
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, volleyball does not get as much clout, if that's the correct word.
It's getting there.
But it's starting to. And, you know, you always get a couple texters that say, nobody cares about this volleyball. So, give it 5 years. I mean, you could say the same thing about the WNBA 5 years ago. Caitlin Clark appears. Now they're one of the most popular leagues
Go look at the ratings for the NCAA tournament, the Final Four, and then the fact that you can get 100,000 people in a stadium to watch this stuff. Plus, I think you and I may start a new segment here.
Yes, this is. I'm really excited for this.
Where we're going to go around and compete with athletes, maybe from Pitt. Who knows? Who knows where this goes? But I thought we would call it On the Road with Austin and Joe.
I like it.
Next thing could be you and me against Eli Holstein. 10 pass, you know.
Precision passing.
Precision things we could do. Like, you know, we can't throw a football 60 yards. We can throw it 10.
We could
throw to targets. We could do free throws against the Pitt basketball
teams. Free throws with Jalen Lowe and.
Right.
Biba Cummings, yes.
We could try to hit off the softball pitcher. You can't do that. I think I could.
If the wiffle ball pitcher's throwing, maybe.
At least a bunt.
Softball pitcher, no.
At least a bunt I could do.
I don't think you can bunt in softball, can you?
I don't know.
Can
you button
slap
baseball?
It.
You wouldn't know it by watching the Pirates, would you? All right, let's go. You ready?
Let's do it.
Davante Adams. Why wouldn't you pursue him? Is there anybody out there who has a good reason why the Steelers shouldn't or wouldn't pursue this guy? He's apparently going to be out there and available. And the Steelers basically informed the entire football world what they think of themselves when they pursued Brandon Ayuk. Their self-evaluation is, we're one big-time playmaker short of where we want to be and where we need to be, and we're willing to throw upwards of $30 million at Brandon Ayuk. That's pretty emphatically revealing what your self-evaluation is. And nobody can tell me after four games that that self-evaluation has changed. Has anybody seen the receivers after George Pickens? Me neither. Maybe a little Calvin Austin here, a Scotty Miller cameo there, but basically it's very obvious they could use another big-time playmaker, and make no mistake, Davante Adams is that. This dude was catching passes from broken Jimmy Garoppolo last year and 98-year-old Brian Hoyer. I didn't even remember that. If you would have told me, you know, at 7 o'clock this morning, Brian Hoyer, yeah, he retired in 2008, I wouldn't have blinked an eye. He played last year, and he played for the Raiders. Davante Adams still had like 100 catches, and I forget the numbers, 1,100 yards, 8 touchdowns. He was very, very productive. Big-time plays all over the place. Here it is, 59 first downs, all that. The dude is a star. He has a hamstring injury right now, but that's okay. You know, he'll be back. Would there be issues? Are there problems? Are there complications with pursuing such a guy? Of course there are. Money and ego top the list, but they always do in professional sports. You want guys. Stars have healthy egos. People want to get paid lots of money. It's not just wide receivers in the NFL last year, any year. It's not just wide receivers in the NFL. You had a quarterback here who quit on his team and begged out of town because the going got rough last year. Don't blame receivers for that. So if Davante Adams comes here and suddenly realizes it's not the greatest show on turf and he's not going to catch as many footballs as he wanted, oh well. If George Pickens welcomes in Adams but then realizes, wait a second, now I'm not getting as many targets as I want. Oh, well, you know, that's life. That's everywhere. Money and ego in pro sports. That's why they pay Mike Tomlin the big bucks. Figure it out. Should be no reason not to pursue this guy. His contract situation is a little bit complicated, but here's the bottom line. He's got nothing really guaranteed after this season. So you can renegotiate here. Let me tell you what Bleacher Report said about the Davante Adams contract situation. And I quote here, Limitless Wonder. Though Adams is in the third year of a five-year, $140 million contract and is due $36.25 million in 25 and 26, the final 2 years of his deal are non-guaranteed, those 2 years. Meaning finding a deal for him could be easier. You rework that. You're still going to wind up paying him probably between $25 and $30 million a year for at least the next 2 years. You already said you were willing to do that with Ayuk. When you haven't won a playoff game, now strike that. When you haven't come anywhere close to winning a playoff game in 7 years, which is seven lifetimes in the NFL, you better be willing to change. And one thing I respect about the Steelers is they have made it very obvious they weren't satisfied with the status quo. They've made that very obvious. We don't think what we're doing is enough. We better make some dramatic changes. Blow up the quarterback room. Get rid of the offensive coordinator. Make a big signing on defense. Whether that pans out or not, we'll see.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
And go after a $30 million receiver and get right to the finish line with him. I respect that. They obviously realize they haven't won a big game in 7 years. 7 years! There's guys in the Pro Football Hall of Fame whose primes were way less than that, but yet put together a resume good enough to get them to Canton. It's an endless amount of time in the NFL. Terrell Davis. Patrick Willis. Tony Boselli. Jimmy Johnson. John Madden. He coached for 9 years. Vince Lombardi coached for like 10. This franchise has gone 7 years without coming close, anywhere near winning a playoff game. When they barely scrape in, and it's been the case that they either barely get in or barely get eliminated, when they barely get in, they get destroyed every year in playoff games, usually giving up between 30 and 40 points. To me, that would be a message, one of two things. Either we better find a way to defend better, or we better be able to match people in the scoring game. And I don't give a crap what way the NFL's going this year, where everybody's talking about, oh, low-scoring games and blah, blah, blah. You better be able to score when you need to score. Because eventually, at some point, you're going to see Mahomes or Allen or Burrow or whoever else, and there's going to be at least one game where you better have the capability to put up big numbers. And credit to Omar Khan, Art Rooney, Tomlin, they seem to all realize, man, not just change is needed here, but radical change. So I believe they will pursue Davante Adams, and if not him, maybe somebody else before the November 5th trade deadline. We mentioned this yesterday. We're looking at Miami. They look like a tanking candidate, big time. They have two very enticing receivers in Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill, both pretty reasonably signed. Read a story this morning about how the Chiefs could be interested in bringing Tyreek Hill back there. The money would be very prohibitive for the Dolphins, actually, to trade him. So you'd have to make a very enticing offer because they're going to have to eat a lot of money if they trade Tyreek Hill. But talk to me again if they're 2-7 or whatever at the trade deadline. So definitely keeping an eye out. But Davante Adams? Hell yes. I can't think of a single reason why you wouldn't go after him. The idea is to separate yourself. The idea is to finally win a big football game again. And the best way to win big games is to have better players than the other guys. He's a separator. He's a transformative player. You put that guy on the field and suddenly defenses are terrorized. Who do we double team? Him or Pickens? Who do we devote more attention to? And if you want to try to attend to both, what does that do to the middle of the field for the likes of Pat Freiermuth? How does that lead to huge advantages in the run game? He's a transformative player in that way. So these next few weeks should be very interesting because there's going to be a lot of competition for Davante Adams, not the least of which will come from his old buddy Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. But limits, I can't think of one reason why you wouldn't pursue Davante Adams. Not one reason. Can you?
He would immediately be a guy who creates more opportunities and more space for George Pickens and would come in and be the best wide receiver on this team. I mean, Davante Adams, people might forget how good he is because he's playing with Gardner Minshew and Who's the other guy?
Broken Jimmy Garoppolo last year.
Yeah, him.
Aiden O'Connell.
Yes, exactly. A very forgettable player. When he was playing with Aaron Rodgers, and I'm not saying Justin Fields is Aaron Rodgers, he was a top five guy year after year after year leading the league in touchdowns, receptions, receiving touchdowns, whatever it was. So he's kind of gotten buried a little bit in Vegas. And another thing that Justine Anderson points out is that, of course, at this time of the year, it depends on the money. Because right now, Adams is due about $12-14 million still left on his deal this year, right around that number.
Yeah.
when you get to the trade deadline, it was pointed out by, I think it was Rappaport, that number that Adams is due goes down to $10 million. Guess how much cap room the Steelers have available right now? $10.5 million. It financially just makes sense. And with Omar Khan and the way that he's able to manipulate the cap anyway, you could find ways, especially with an out after this year, where if you want to move on from Devontae Adams, you can, or if you want to sign him back, go right ahead and do
That's
it.
You're right. That's the other thing. Maybe he'd be a rental player. We didn't talk about the price. Schefter put out a second round pick plus additional, you know, things included there. Sign me up for that.
So what do you want, a second and Corey Trice?
I don't
care. We'll hand it away for you.
As long as TJ Watt's not included in the deal, a second round pick plus whatever. You know, it's not going to be something
like, do you
big.
Want a second round pick in Calvin Austin? I'd do that.
Yeah, whatever that might be. That's a secondary part of the deal. The second round pick would be the centerpiece, and I'd do that in a second.
Now, nobody's willing to give up a second round pick at this point, according to the reports. Well, so could that go down to a third and maybe you throw in a fifth in 26?
Or you be the ones to make it the second round pick and get the guy. That's the old Jim Rutherford plan. You know, he used to laugh when people would say, man, he gave up too much, even for people like Derek Brassard. And that didn't turn out. But you know what? I give Rutherford all the credit in the world for stepping to the plate and taking the swing, and he did. And then as he later would explain after some of his deals, how do you think we got the guy? We went the extra mile to make the trade.
Bidder.
So when you tell me that nobody's offering a second round pick, if I'm Omar Khan, I'd be the one because I want the player. And it's going to be very competitive to get this player. I wouldn't blink an eye at that.
And if you offer a second round pick, then you would imagine that everything else, because if nobody else is offering, the additional compensation might just go out the window. Because the other part of this to think about is Devontae Adams acting as if he's and completely making the Raiders want to move off of him quicker
and
quicker.
You mean with the hamstring situation or with his complaints?
With him just wanting to get out of there.
Yeah, I mean, it seems clear, and the reporting is that they're at least listening, right?
And that's the thing that happened with Ayuk, that ultimately he's the one that came back to the franchise and said, no, I want to stay. Like, I'll just take the deal.
Yeah,
where
it felt in some ways like Ayuk was using the Steelers. It did feel like that.
I don't feel like this is the case in the Devontae Adams situation.
No.
He just wants out. And if you watched the documentary, quarterback, or wide receiver on Netflix over the last year, at least that I did right before the season started, Devontae Adams was cussing out everything on the sideline, saying, I want out of here. I'm going to get killed out here.
One Bay Area team is a beacon of competence in the NFL, and the other is an absolute joke.
Is the Raiders.
And we don't have to guess which one. Although you just did, and you were correct, Limits.
Well, the other is obviously the joke of everything, the Raiders, the brunt of a lot of jokes in the
NFL.
Did
you see where Antonio Pierce, the coach, apparently liked an Instagram post where Adams said he wanted out?
Yep.
Is that real? Did that really happen?
That actually happened.
That is tremendous.
It's just more fuel on the fire.
So
he's going to get moved. The only thing is, where does he go? And is it the Jets or the Steelers? You would think those are the two biggest candidates right now.
You would think, but there may be many, right? I read upwards of 8.
And Dallas, I think, is involved.
Yeah. How do you separate? And that might be very enticing to him,
Saints,
by the way.
The Saints, according to Schefter, is involved.
How do you separate yourself? Oh, I know. You make a better offer than the other people. So give up a second-round pick. Maybe then it becomes more palatable to trade Russell Wilson, which is something I'm not in favor of. And I'm not saying you could get a second-round pick, but you could probably or definitely get some draft capital back, I would think, if someone's desperate enough. Maybe Miami, again, comes into play there, and maybe they'll try to salvage their season if they don't think Tua's coming back, especially. But either way, maybe Miami is tanking at some point and their receivers become available, or maybe they're trying to salvage and they're willing to give up some sort of pick for Russell Wilson.
So Schefter just put out a note. Two teams that are high on Devontae Adams' wish list of places to land, if not at the very top, are the Jets and the Saints. What is the common denominator? Aaron Rodgers and Derek Carr. Packers, Fresno State. He's played with Carr. He's played with Rodgers. Familiarity there.
Okay. So then it becomes even more important and vital to make the best offer. Either you want the guy or you don't. I think we can live without a second-round pick, right?
And Schefter also says, despite any speculation, Kansas City is not an option. Just throwing that one out there.
Why, I wonder? I mean, that
the price tag? Why would they not?
Because it's Raiders Chiefs.
Rashee Rice is probably out for the year. I mean,
that's why. That's why they're... Well, if the price is right, you would.
If the Chiefs give up a first-round pick for Devontae Adams, then yes, they'll trade him in division. But they're not going to give that up.
They're, again, being talked about with Tyreek Hill and reuniting with him. Can you imagine that? Tyreek Hill going back to the Chiefs?
What wide receivers does Kansas City even have at this point? Justin Watson, South Fayette, shout out the Lions, are the only...
What do you mean?
He's like their best receiver right now.
Worthy's pretty good right
now.
Yeah,
Worthy's pretty good.
But Juju's made some plays. They'll go out and get somebody. They'll be fine. Kelsey actually came back with a good game last week. They're one team I'm not worried about as far as whether they'll be really good or not. I might be worried about them competing for receivers, although it sounds like not Devontae Adams. All right, Limits, let's take calls. Yeah, that would be the way you beat out his preferred choices. The other way would be to make a bigger promise than they would in terms of money.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.